We've been doing Week of Prayer, and so we're going to be talking about prayer. And actually, I was thinking, I think I've talked about this a couple months ago, so this might be a little bit of review, but I think it's good for us to review about prayer. We probably don't pray enough. Can God answer prayer? We're going to talk about how God answers prayer. We're going to talk about why God doesn't answer prayer. You know, it's just as important to understand why God doesn't answer prayer as to understand why God does answer prayer. Now, you know, somebody was telling me, and I'm going to feel bad, because somebody was telling me, oh, we shouldn't talk about all the things that God has done way in the past. We should talk about things that God has done today. But I'm going to tell you about things God has done in the past. But that doesn't mean God's not doing things today. So, when I was first a Christian, I was hitchhiking across the country. Now, I won't tell you all about hitchhiking, but I had some challenges with hitchhiking. I was 19 when I first became a Christian. And I didn't know you're not supposed to ask for everything. I just figured the Bible says ask for it and you should get it. So I asked for everything. So I would be... Now, I ended up hitchhiking from Detroit to British Columbia about 3 or 4 times. And so it's a long drive. It's like 4,000 miles, I think. But it's an even longer hitchhike because you're not driving the whole time. You're walking part of the time. So I had my backpack and my dog. And I had a little dog. It wasn't a big one, but he was kind of like, you never met him. But I'm trying to think of all the different breeds. He was kind of a mix, but he was a little bit of a little husky, and you know, he was bushy, and he had a curly tail and a pointy nose, and he was a little feisty guy. He ran all over the place. So I was praying for a ride. And I was in Manitoba. Now, this was summertime, so I'm okay. It doesn't get that cold in the summertime there. In Manitoba, just out of Winnipeg, probably 100 miles, and I'm standing there in the highway, and a car comes by every 15 minutes. You know, and I'm busy, and off they go. And the next one comes, and off they go, and the time is adding up, and I'm walking down the highway, and I thought, you know, I'm tired of walking. I put my backpack down, and my dog would walk along with me. I kind of had him trained, except when I put my backpack down, then he'd go wander off a little bit, but when a car stopped, I'd whistle, and off he'd come running, and he'd jump in the curb, and I trained him to jump right in the wheel well, you know, right where your feet are, so when I'm sitting in the passenger seat, you know, I kind of put my feet over the top of him, and we're in there together. Well, I was saying, Lord, I've been standing here for about 2 hours and nobody's picking us up. Could you please send me a ride? And so the next car stopped. And I said, great. Where's that crazy dog? So I whistled. I got in the car, sat in the passenger seat with the door open, and there I saw him come running. He was out in the field. You know, we're out in the field of kind of cornfields, whatever kind of fields they were. Actually, they were cattle fields. So he comes running, and remember, I've been praying for a ride. He comes running, and he jumps over me, and he jumps on the guy, the driver's seat, who's eating something, and I notice he's covered with manure, and not just old manure. This is fresh stuff. And I thought, well, that's the end of my ride. And the guy said, he's like eating an egg or something like that. And he's got this manure all over with the dog. And I'm thinking, well, I might as well get out now and grab the dog off. So I grabbed the dog off of him and he says, it's okay, it's okay. He says, I have a dog, I know how it goes. And so he wasn't upset. So we stopped the car, we got out, we cleaned off the manure off of both of us. And I kind of tried to figure out a way to clean it off the dog, which was not that easy. He said, hey, I got something in the trunk. I got some water, whatever. And so we put down a little blanket in the wheel well there, let the dog jump in, and he gave me a ride. And I was praying God would work a miracle. How many people will give you a ride after you cover them with cow poo? It takes a miracle. And you know how long of a ride he gave me? He drove until his car quit, which was into, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, into Alberta. Probably 1,500 miles. And we drove and drove and drove and talked, and he was a really nice guy. And does God answer prayer? Even for hitchhikers? You know, it's interesting. Because sometimes God answers in different ways. And sometimes he answers in ways that seem like, this is the craziest answer I've ever gotten. But God can not only answer prayers, but sometimes he softens hearts while he answers prayers. And he opens doors in mysterious ways. And I probably should have got the guy's number and call him up. But he said he was from somewhere in British Columbia. And he says, I would have taken you all the way there, but my car broke down. So when his car broke down, we both got a ride to the mechanic, and he said, oh, it's going to be a day or two. And I said, well, I probably should get back out because I got a deadline. He says, that's fine. God sent somebody special to me who would love my smelly dog. You know, there's miracles. And so we shouldn't hesitate to ask God for miracles. And he does them even though we're kind of wondering why he does them this way. But turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we've gone over this before. We need to go over this again. Okay? Because Jesus tells us about asking and believing. And this is a story, which is kind of interesting. And I'm not totally sure. This is kind of an illustration type story. But Jesus cursed a fig tree. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. Let's start with verse 18. It says, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. You know, I was thinking about Jesus and hitchhiking. Jesus walked everywhere he went. I don't know if he got a ride in a few chariots or, they weren't chariots, they were probably just horse-drawn, you know, buggies. They probably didn't call them buggies back then. Carts, yeah. He might have gotten a ride here and there, and I thought to myself, I don't feel so bad about being a hitchhiker. Now, I'm not encouraging you to be hitchhikers. But Jesus, in a sense, he walked and he hitchhiked quite a bit. And so, he rode a borrowed donkey. Anyways, I'm not encouraging you to hitchhike, because, you know, the more dangerous people out there when you hitchhike are not the people who pick you up. It's the people you meet on the road. Those are the dangerous ones. Okay, let's go back to our text. Now in the morning, he returned unto the city, and he hungered. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And so he said unto it, let no fruit grow on you forever. And presently, and actually if you look this up in some other texts, it says immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, this is the problem that we have. We say, well, God doesn't want to answer my prayer. I'm not good enough to get him to answer my prayers. We're going to discuss that in a little bit. He says, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it shall be done. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, what does it say? You might receive? Maybe? If you beg enough? How about if you juggle for me? How many have a mountain that needs to be moved? Anybody? Now, Hermiston's pretty flat, so I'm not talking literally. Anybody have a mountain that needs to be moved? Issues, struggles, challenges? Can God answer that prayer? Will God answer prayers? Have you had God already answer prayers? So if he can do it once, can he do it twice? Okay, but the problem is what? Why were the disciples so amazed at this? Why were they so amazed and, wow, never seen anything like this? It was a miracle. But Jesus says, well, you could do this stuff too. This is not that difficult. He says, all you have to do, all things. Now, obviously, he's not talking about praying for something contrary to God's will, right? He's talking about praying for something according to God's will. He says, but all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So what is the key to this whole thing? Is it asking? Asking is one of the keys. Matter of fact, all three of them have to be there. Okay? If you don't ask, do you get stuff? Now, sometimes God will give you stuff without asking because he knows you have a need. But he wants you to ask. He's telling you, please ask. I want to show you how I can do things. Okay? But we have to believe. And that's the challenge. The challenge is we don't always believe. Our belief is like, well, maybe he'll answer. I'm not sure. I guess I should ask. But oh well, I guess I'll just have to live without it. And so we ask doubting, and we receive how much? Okay? Because it says you'll receive if you believe. So it's important to believe. Now go to Hebrews 11:6. Go to Hebrews 11:6. And this is the part of the challenge. Part of the challenge we have is we are brainwashed by our culture, even by sometimes our church, to think that God is not going to want to give everything to me that I ask for. But if we ask according to his will, he's promised he will. See, this I'm talking about prayer. Why do we get together for 10 days? Was it just to get together? I mean, it was social time. Does God answer the prayers that we ask? Does God answer sometimes and we don't even see it? Quite often. We're praying for people across the world, on the other side of the world. And we won't even know if those answers come through until when Jesus comes. I have a feeling some of our prayers, we will sit down with Jesus and he's going to say, do you remember you prayed this one? Let me tell you what happened. Do you remember you prayed this one? Let me tell you what happened. Do you remember you prayed for your children? Let me tell you how it all worked out. And you might be praying for your children, and you have no idea if they're going to get there. You don't know what's happening. And then all of a sudden your day comes, and your children are still around. You don't know whatever you think, well, maybe all it was for naught. And when you get to the kingdom, you get to see your children, and they're going to say, whoa, maybe my prayers actually worked. And Jesus is going to say, let me tell you how it worked. Can God answer prayers that you don't see the results of? I think quite a lot of our prayers we are not going to see the results of. Now, we like to see the one, you know, please, Lord, bring so-and-so to church and they're there next week. I like those kind of prayers because you can say, I've got an answer right here. But we need to believe, okay? And Hebrews 11:6 talks about this believing, okay? Believing is the key to a lot of things. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must what? Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So does he reward us for seeking him with all our heart? Does he reward us for asking and following what his word says already? Asking, believing, and then we receive? This is part of the challenge of prayer. Now, why would God not answer some prayers? Has anybody ever prayed something that did not happen? Don't be bashful. I'm raising my hand. I'll guarantee I asked for all sorts of stuff that didn't happen. Why is this the case? And we need to look this up and figure it out, because part of understanding why God doesn't answer prayer helps us to understand how God will answer prayer for us. Okay? Turn to Psalm 66:18. This is not... Part of the challenge is us. Part of the challenge is us. Psalm 66:18. And you want to look carefully at this. Psalm 66:18 talks about why God doesn't hear some folk. What does it say? I've got it here in KJV 2000, which is basically the King James. Just gets rid of the these and the thous. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, what happens? The Lord will not hear me. So if I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, please do this, but I've really got iniquity in my heart. Now, where's my heart? Down here? Can you have iniquity in your heart? I guess if you have an aneurysm, it's kind of like having iniquity in there. But iniquity in your heart is talking about the center of your being. Inside, it's really in your head. In the center of your being. Actually, when it talks about heart, it refers to, when you talk about the heart, what is that usually referred to? You know, you see those cards with the hearts on them? That means you are what? If you give a card to somebody with a heart, what does that mean? That means love. So if you think about this, when I regard iniquity in my heart, what is that really talking about? When iniquity is in my heart. Matter of fact, if you look at a different version here, it says, were I to cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not listen to me. Cherish is to love. The problem we have is that we are in love with sin more than we're in love with God. And God says, if you're in love with sin more than me, this messes up your prayers. This is a real deterrent to having a prayer that works. And so we need to get on our knees first before we ask God for blessings and say, Lord, the bigger blessing and the most important blessing I need is a new heart. Not full of sin, but full of Jesus. Okay, please clean me up, Lord. The devil is tempting me and I am taking the bait. I need your help. Please forgive me and cleanse me. Anybody know a text on that? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to clean us up and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So before God can really answer my prayer, I need a sincere, clean heart. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write this. I know I'm getting white hair, but I'm not that old yet. It was written a couple thousand years ago. There's other texts too. Other texts too. Turn to James. James 4:3. Matter of fact, I used some of these texts yesterday at the prison. We were talking about some of these challenges, okay? So if I'm going to have a conduit to God to have my prayers answered, I need to search my own heart first. I need to be sincere, dedicated, and willing to surrender. We don't like that word. Surrender everything to Jesus. And now when we surrender, what are we giving up anyways? All the good stuff, all the fun stuff in life. No, we're giving up the garbage. We think it's good, but it's really garbage and it hurts us. And sometimes we get that mixed up. James 4:3. There's a number of texts that talk about why we don't receive from God. Okay? Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, which means you ask for the wrong reason, that you may what? That you may consume it upon your lusts. So if I pray and I say, God, please give me a new Maserati. Is there anything wrong with Maseratis? No, they're nice cars. But why do I want a Maserati? Do I want it so I can bring the 45 kids that live down the block to church with me? I'd have to get a trailer to fit them all in. Maseratis don't have a lot of space. If I said, Lord, rather could you give me a new school bus? You know how many kids pray for school buses? Actually, my brother prayed for a bus, and he got a step van. But that was in the days when, you know, hippies, he had a wood stove in his step van. I won't tell that story. But you see the difference? If I'm going to consume what God gives me on me, myself, and I, he's going to say, you know, if I give this to you, it's just going to hurt you. And so as simply as, you know, you don't receive because you ask for the wrong reasons, because you want to use everything you get for yourself. If you ask to give, will God answer that prayer? If you say, Lord, please open the doors so I can help my neighbor, will he answer that prayer? Please, Lord, give me an extra couple $1,000s this month so I can give to missions and send a missionary to China. Will God answer those kind of prayers? If I say, Lord, give me an extra couple $1,000s this month so I can get one of those 8K TVs. High tech. Okay, so there's some reasons why God doesn't answer prayer. And they all make perfect sense to me and to God. We don't always like that. And I think, you know, okay, Lord, I don't need the best high-tech equipment. I don't need the nicest car. I don't need the biggest house. And anyways, when we get to the kingdom, any house will be better than any house that's been here. Any house will be way better than any house that's ever been built here. Imagine that. Even the poor folk there are going to be rich. So I'd rather put my eggs in that basket than in this basket. See, so God, before we pray, we have to have God's mindset. We got to think the way God thinks. And then he starts answering prayer. And this was the challenge with the disciples. Jesus kept trying to train them. You got to think the way, you got to be Christ-like in your mind, and then answers will come. So he continues to tell us this stuff because he wants us to be like him. That's actually the most important prayer I can pray. Lord, change me. Give me patience. Give me love, especially for those people that just drive me crazy. I don't want to deal with them. Relatives. Anybody have relatives here like every one of them is perfect? So you pray, Lord, help me love my relatives. You know, friends you can leave if they become enemies. You can just move to the other side of town. But relatives, you can move to the other side of the world and they still know your cell phone number. So Lord, please change me. Please change me. So let's go to John chapter 15, verse 7. Okay, because this is part of the way prayer works. God is willing to answer prayer, but there's a condition. This is a good condition. This is really a good condition. John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. But before we read John 15, 7, I want to ask a question about prayer. If you don't ask for something good, or if you ask for something in the wrong way, even if you're sincere, say you're sincerely, Lord, I really think this is the best. I would like to have this happen in my life. If God doesn't answer the prayer exactly the way you ask it, sometimes he answers it differently and he just gives you something better, even though you're thinking this is worse. Because if I say, Lord, I remember one time I said, Lord, can't I keep my job? And he says, you really want to stay here when I have something way better for you? Well, but I don't like change. And if I could just stay here, I know what I'm getting into. If I have big change, I have no idea what's coming. He says, I got something better for you. So sometimes we ask for good things, but he wants to give us something better. And it might take 6 months or a year or 2 years or 5 years before all of a sudden you realize this was the best thing in my life. I'm so happy He didn't answer the prayer the way I asked it. Okay? It has nothing to do with the condition in your heart. It just has to do with God knowing the end from the beginning. So, John 15:7. Let's take a look. John 15:7. What does John 15:7 say for us in order to receive? It says, if you what? If you abide in me, so we need to spend time abiding in him, and my words abide in you. In other words, we abide in him and his word abides in us. Now, how does God's word abide in a person? You study it. That's right. Sometimes I wish I can hook up a wire and just plug it in and download it, but it doesn't work that way. Now, I don't know, maybe in the future you can have some kind of download chip in your head and get all the information that way. But right now, I don't think it's going to happen. But right now, you've got to spend time reading. You got to eat his word. And when you eat it, then you get full of what? His word. And his word doesn't return what? Void. Okay? So this is really what he's saying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if they are inside of you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So part of the condition of answered prayer is spending time in his word, abiding in him. This is prayer and Bible study. And God will bless. Hey, he'll increase your faith through prayer and Bible study. So you can even believe that the prayer will be answered. And then John 16:24. John 16:24. That's the one we read for our scripture reading. And I like this one. He says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. You think you've asked for something? You don't know what you haven't asked for anything. You ask for all the little stuff. He says, you need to ask big. He says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and what'll happen? Your joy is going to be full. Your joy is going to be full. This is the key to having a joyful prayer life. You know, I was thinking about this, and you got to ask with confidence, because a lot of times when you ask for something, what does the devil say? Well, God can't give this to you. What kind of person? Yeah, he knows you're unworthy. He wouldn't answer your prayer. Can God answer the prayer of people who are unworthy? Doesn't that include like everybody? So if any prayers are answered, that's the only way it works. So if the devil says you're unworthy, don't argue with him. Just say you're right. But God answers prayers for unworthy sinners just like me. That's what the Bible says, right? He saves sinners. And I'm the chief. I was going to tell a story, and I think I told this story to a few people before, about being in Vegas, Las Vegas. We've lived in Las Vegas. And every time I go out for a walk, the people in Vegas, they just like wouldn't even look at you in the eye. They don't want to even deal with anybody because they think everybody's a mugger, everybody's going to kill you, so just don't even look. So we'd walk down the street and people would walk by and they'd be like, I'd say hi, and they'd, you know, I like to say hi to people, but they didn't want to say hi to me. They didn't want to look at you. They didn't want to talk to you or anything. I was out in the desert praying. We lived on Sahara, wasn't it? On Sahara. I don't know if you guys know your Vegas map. At the time we lived there, this was in 1990. A long time ago. Getting old. See, I shouldn't tell those stories from so long ago. Maybe we need to go back to Vegas. No, we don't. But we lived at the end of Sahara on Hualapai, and that was the end of the world, and then there was the desert. And so it was kind of nice because I thought, hey, I got some place I can go out for a walk out in the desert. So I'd go out for walks. Karen and I would go out for walks. Other people would go out for walks. There were times we had to be careful. So I went out for a walk. And I, like I said, I know I've told some of you this story, so bear with me if you've already heard it. I went out for a walk, and I was praying, Lord, this is Friday night. I was thinking about sermons and thinking about how to witness in Vegas and all this. And I said, Lord, could you open the door so I can tell somebody about Jesus today? And so I must have walked about maybe 2 miles out, and I started walking back. And it was in like February, so it wasn't that warm. I had my coat on, and on the way back, you know, I parked my little car. I drove my little brown car, little brown Honda, I think that was, remember? Yeah, little brown Honda. I mean, it's one of those little teeny ones. I don't even know if they make them anymore. They probably don't. Anyways, little brown Honda, I drove it out, and then I walked out to the desert, and on the way back, you could see off in the distance all these people around my car, and I said, oh no, Friday night, guess what's happening? They're having a party, and they're all out there drinking. And so I said, well, I'll just walk back to my car, get in the car, and drive off, and, you know, I'm hoping everything will be fine. You know, they didn't do something to my car. So I get closer and closer to my car, and all of a sudden there's like 8 or 10 guys walking around my car. And all of a sudden one of them says, hey, there he is! Looking around, and all of them start running full speed ahead towards me. And I'm going, should I run? Should I stay? I said, Lord, help! You've heard that before. And one of the guys came up, and he grabbed me and pulled my arms around the back and cuffed me and threw me on the ground, facing the dirt, and 5 or 6 guys had guns to my head. And I said, I hope this isn't the guys that are partying out here. These were unmarked police. I had no idea they were police. And I thought, thank God I didn't have my umbrella or they would have shot me. And so I'm sitting there and they said, we're looking for a bank robber. I said, oh, well, I didn't see him. I didn't say that. They didn't tell me what are you doing out in the desert? And I said, well, I'm taking a walk. And they said, nobody in their right mind walks out in the desert. I said, well, kind of made me sound a little crazy. I said, well, I do. And they said, oh. And they said, well, what do you have in your pockets? And I said, didn't have my hands to do that, but I knew what was in my pocket. I said, chapstick? And they said, oh, okay, sure you do. You're out in the desert, got chapstick in your pocket. And what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a preacher. Sure you are. And so, I mean, I'm sitting there with I'm kind of talking like this because I don't want to, you know, suck up too much dirt. And so I'm a preacher. And so, you know, 5 guns to your head. It's like, could you back those off a little bit? And they got the hand, you know, when they put handcuffs on, do they do it gently? They don't even sand the edges smooth on the handcuffs, you know. So I'm sitting there, and one of the guys, he says to me, he says, you're a preacher, huh? He says, well, tell us everything your church believes. I said, are you sure? Are you sure? Spitting the stones out. I said, are you sure? He says, yeah, tell us everything your church believes. And so, you know me, I can talk. I said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and we believe in the Seventh-day Sabbath, and the Bible says da-da-da-da-da-da, and then I believe in the Second Coming, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I couldn't even look at my watch to see if I was going over time. And then it dawned on me, somebody's asking me, and I'm getting an opportunity to witness. And I said, Lord, couldn't we have done this in a nicer manner? Finally, they realized this guy is a preacher, and the other one says, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't have asked him this question. So, but there was one guy, I think he was a Methodist. He says, is that what Adventists believe? And I got all done, and he says, and the other guy says, tell us everything again. I said, you want to hear it again? I said, Lord, you're really answering. Am I fiddling out here? Lord, you're really answering. And he says, well, yeah, we want to know if you actually got this straight or not, and if you're not telling us a fib. Because if you can't tell us exactly what you're saying again, we know you're just giving us a line. They were looking for a bank robber. I'll tell you how all that worked. They were actually looking for a bank robber. They didn't tell me for like an hour and a half. And Karen was at home. So they called her up. And they said, they left a message. What was it they said on the machine? We found your husband in the desert. Click. And Karen's about, she is great with child. She was on bed rest, but not when the answering machine rung, because she ran to get it and she didn't get there in time. So she calls back and she says, you know, the police department is there, you know, I want to find out if my husband's okay. Well, we can't tell you anything. You'll have to call Officer Kaminsky or whatever his name was. And 20 minutes later, she finally got a hold of him, and he said something to the effect, we have found your husband in the desert. Is he okay? Well, before we get there. So finally she says, yes, we found him in the desert. We thought he was out there dumping bodies. And they thought I was a bank robber. Oh, what was the description? Well, the description was white male, brown car. Oh, well, I guess I'm the bank robber. I fit the description. And the thing that I was happy about, I realized, is that if you, in the papers a couple weeks before, the police were very much on edge because there was a couple policemen that went to one guy's door, and the guy didn't even open his door. He just shot through the door and killed the policeman. And so they were all on edge. And I asked the guy, I said, well, what if I had an umbrella? He says, you probably would have been shot. We would have shot you. Because we wouldn't have been knowing. It was night. They wouldn't have seen an umbrella. They would have seen a gun. So God took care of me and used this opportunity to witness as well. As a matter of fact, when I was done telling the story the second time, they had taken the cuffs off and spread eagle on the front of the cop car, which was a unmarked cop car, but the engine was running, and I was glad because it was a little cold out there. And I was there for another hour, and so I was talking to them about all sorts of different stuff, and one of the guys, I think he was a Methodist, he said, I never knew Adventists believed that. He says, where's your church? I said, well, it's down the block, and it's over here. He says, He says, I might attend sometime. He says, you're the preacher? So, you know, does God answer prayer? Just be careful. Just be careful. When I got home, I had sliced rings around my wrist from the handcuffs. Like somebody took a razor blade. But, you know, I wasn't feeling uncomfortable. I got home. Karen was. But she was sure happy to see me. I got home and I said, Karen, the craziest and the most amazing thing happened tonight. Can God work miracles? If you ask for God to open doors, will he? Just be careful. You don't want to have too many stories to tell the grandkids. But the truth is, I should say, don't be careful. Ask God to do incredible things. You know, I was perfectly fine. But God opened the door for me to witness to somebody in Las Vegas that night. He answered my prayer. He answered my prayer. How many would like God to answer their prayer in a miraculous way? Would you raise your hands? Matter of fact, why don't we stand? Those who are able, why don't we stand? Lord, we just thank you that you do answer prayer and you take care of preachers. And you take care of non-preachers as well. Lord, we just pray that you would give us boldness to ask, to believe, and to claim the answers that you want to give each one of us. Lord, you know we have mountains that we need to move. Please, Lord, work miracles on our mountains. Please open doors so we can witness to the community. Please move in powerful ways upon our children, upon our parents, upon our brothers and sisters, Lord. And when you come again, you can tell us some of the answers we'll see here, but some of them we might not see until the kingdom. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us not to give up on prayer because we don't think anybody's listening. Help us to remember that a powerful God is out there waiting to hear, and he tells us to ask. And if you ask, you shall receive. Ask, believe, and receive. Help us to remember those words. Help us to remember how important prayer is and how powerful it can be in the hands of somebody who loves Jesus with all their heart. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.